O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it is the second to last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. We'll have special paraments for Christ the King Sunday. The gospel lesson, Pastor Luke's going to preach on it from John chapter 18, somewhere in John's gospel. The point being, this is the final gospel lesson from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark for this church year. And we're reading from Mark chapter 13. It's part of the farewell discourse that Jesus and the disciples, they go into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday is Mark chapter 11. When they are in Jerusalem, Jesus does some teaching in and around the temple, and there are questions from the scribes and the Pharisees, questions from the Sadducees, question from the rich young ruler about Jesus, which is the greatest commandment. Jesus has his disciples watch as people place their offering at the temple, and the rich and powerful bring their great offerings and make a big show of it, and Jesus points out the quiet beauty of the widow who brings only a mite, but it is a treasure that is beautiful in God's sight. And then as Jesus and the disciples are leaving the temple, it's pointed out by St. Mark that one of the disciples says, "Jesus, these stones here from the temple, they are awesome. I mean, just one stone, I think, was as big as a car. How in the ancient world, 2,000 years ago, did they even get these stones in place? And they go together and form this beautiful temple. It's part of King Herod's architectural achievement. And so while wondering about the stones and then these wonderful buildings, Jesus, I love this about Jesus because he keeps it real. I think, as the kids say, he keeps it 100. Is that right? Keep it 100. Jesus is intense, and he has no place to even humor these disciples with, "Yeah, that's really neat." He, and maybe you already heard this, he says, "Do you see," and it's about perspective and perception, "do you see these great buildings?" And then I add, "You like these buildings, do you?" "Yeah, well, not one of these buildings is going to be left standing. In fact, there's not even one stone that will be left standing upon another. It's all going to be thrown down." And Jesus is intense. Jesus is anything but nice. He dispenses with pleasantries. And then it seems like there's a pause here and there is some physical movement. St. Mark tells us that Jesus and the disciples, they go out of the Temple Mount and they begin to go up Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, and from that vantage point they can look back and see not only the stones that are stacked upon one another, but all the temple and all the buildings. And then it's Peter and James and John, the three that are closest to Jesus, but now Andrew gets to make a cameo appearance here too. They, after thinking about this, after maybe marinating a bit on what Jesus had said, they ask him a question privately. And they say, "Jesus, well, tell us, when will these things be? Like when all the stones are going to be thrown down, not one left upon another. And it would also help us, Jesus, if you would tell us, what will be the sign of these things coming?" And then it occurred to me as I was thinking about that this week that they are literally concerned about collapse. Just saying the word collapse, I don't know, it's got something to it. They're concerned about the collapse. And, well, I'm concerned about the collapse too. I've been concerned this month. I'm always concerned about the collapse. In fact, just this year, I purchased this book by Fernando Furfal Aguirre, or Aguirre, who lived through the economic collapse in Argentina in 2001. And, well, inflation went crazy. A lot of bad things happening. Now, people still survive, but there are things like, where do you want to live? What kind of dog do you want to have? You should have a firearm, and I was just telling Pastor Luke as we were waiting here, a revolver You don't want a revolver. You need to be able to get more rounds off than the other person. So I think about these things. I'm ready for the collapse. Collapse is awful. I'm so ready for the collapse. I mean, I do wonder. I mean, I know we had the plaster done, but are we certain about the support structure up here? Pastor Luke, just last week, and maybe this contributed to me losing my voice, it even kind of bothers me about how close I am to this thing. You're there now. I don't know. It stayed up this long, but if it comes down and while you're standing there, boom, right through the top of the head. Don't worry about it. We'll watch it for you. We'll let you know. Like, look, the collapse. And so whether it's the collapse of the economic system where I'm going to need a whole wheelbarrow full of money if we can still use cash. I do have some cryptocurrency trying to hedge against inflation. But can I even get to that when the EMP goes off and I can't even use any electronic devices? I don't know, but I want to be ready for the collapse. But, you know, I'm concerned about other collapses. I am concerned about my team collapsing in the final quarter of the football game. I'm concerned about my team collapsing in the final 1.8 seconds, perhaps, because it happens. I mean, collapses are there. IU football collapse, whole football season done. Yesterday, proof of that. I just want to get that in there. Collapse is scary. It produces fear. It produces anxiety. I think it's anxiety.org. I got this on the internet, so I know it's right. But definition of anxiety. Anxiety is the mind and body's reaction to stressful, dangerous, or unfamiliar situations. It's the sense of uneasiness, distress, or dread that you feel before a significant event. Do you feel the dread right now, Elijah? Because apparently this could be off-putting. People may not want to come and sit that close. You're very brave, courageous. But you're doing fine, right? No anxiety. Yeah, keep it 100. So, now here's the thing, though. Anxiety, stress, they go together. Stress in and of itself is not a bad thing. Anxiety is not a bad thing because it can help us to stay alert and awake. You still awake? Because it could come down anytime. This is okay. But here's the thing. The problem is if you or I marinate in this anxiety, in this stress, it is debilitating. The whole immune system can collapse. The whole physically can collapse. Collapse, not a good thing. I mean, that's why some of us use walkers or some of us use a cane or go in a wheelchair. You don't want to collapse. Bad stuff. So I understand. It makes sense to me that Peter and James and John and Andrew are concerned at the very least when Jesus says, hey, you like these buildings? Well, hey, enjoy them while you can, because there's not going to be one stone left upon another. But here's the thing. It's not something as trivial as the collapse of a team in the second half or the fourth quarter or something like that. This is something that what they're concerned about is Jesus has just foretold of the collapse of the temple of the living God. The temple is the place where God has promised to dwell with his people. In Jeremiah chapter 7, when the people had strayed from God and he says, repent, come back. If you keep doing what you're supposed to do, I won't leave you. But here's the thing. They thought, well, as long as we keep doing everything the way we're supposed to, God will be with us and dwell in his temple. And now Jesus is saying, that whole temple, gone. So I think they're rightfully concerned to have some anxiety about the impending collapse. But note here, when Jesus says and talks about seeing these great buildings, and now he takes them across out of Jerusalem to give a broader perspective, he wants them to see things and to hear them rightly, everything in its proper place. When they ask Jesus, when will this happen, and what will be the signs? Jesus, and he does this often, he doesn't really directly ever answer them. Don't worry about it. Just live your life. But here's what he says. He began to say to them, and notice here this sense of sight. He says, see, and he uses this Greek word twice here. It's a command, see or watch, that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, or maybe in the stead and by the command of, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And then he says, and when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, maybe false voices, do not be alarmed. So he says, watch, see, look out. Now he says, do not be alarmed. Do not be shocked. Do not be surprised. I mean, why should we be surprised? In some sense, there's nothing new under the sun. I think sometimes we have this recency bias that, well, hey, look, yeah, bad things have happened before, but this is like the worst. We also have this thing like, hey, there have been a lot of great basketball players before, but I'm pretty sure that fill in the blank, LeBron James. No, I don't know. You ever see Michael Jordan? You ever see Wilt Chamberlain? No, I don't know why I'm talking to you, because you know you have that relationship. Right, so we get this recency bias, like, well, yeah, it was bad, but this is the worst. And Jesus is giving this perspective, like, there's nothing new under the sun. He says, these things, this must take place, but the end is not yet. Don't be alarmed. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But these are but the beginning of the birth pains. I'd like to go for 3 hours because just right there. These are but the beginning of the birth pains, not the death rattle, not the end. The birth pains, a good thing, the beginning of a new creation. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and in today's... Now this is 2,000 years ago. I'm pretty sure they didn't have Twitter, TikTok, Rumble, Tumble, Tumblr, InstaChat, FaceSnap, all those, whatever. They didn't have those things, and yet people were still rumor-mongering. Hey, did you hear? I don't know if you heard this. You know, since I've been, being in the church, I've heard rumors and things even about myself that I didn't even know were true. Motivations that I have and other sort of things. It's just like, boy, becoming a pastor is a way to just, I can feel the power coursing through me. And now Pastor Luke and I are the, like in Star Wars, the two Sith. It's just off the top of my head. No, we're not. We're here servants of Jesus. There's nothing new. Don't be surprised. You know, and sometimes people will say, and not just to Pastor Luke and me, Pastor Luke incidentally preached on Revelation last week. Revelation, scary, confusing, good book, but read it in light of all the rest of Scriptures, not Scripture in light of Revelation. And people say, hey, it seems like we're maybe living in the end times. And the answer is, yes, we are living in the end times. Jesus is saying that to his disciples. No, this is the end. This is the end, my friend. It's okay. Not everything is necessarily the mark of the beast, the thing that is going to undo us. Incidentally, though, I did hear that someone who got a COVID-19 booster shot, they said, I don't really have a lot of symptoms except my internet connection is a lot better now. Why are you laughing? I don't know. See, I'm rumor mongering too. I don't know if that. I'm neither for or against. I'm just saying. So there's nothing new under the sun. Don't be surprised, Jesus says. And then he goes back here in verse 9. But be on your guard. It's the same word that he uses in verse 5. See, and now he says, be on your guard or watch. For they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my name's sake to bear witness before them. Well, Lord, have mercy. So you want to follow Jesus. This sounds like a great plan. But he says, but you'll be there for my name's sake to bear witness, martyrios, to confess. And then, here in verse 10, and he says, and the gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations, the good news, even in the midst of uncertainty and chaos and calamity and darkness and fear and shadow, the light, the truth, the good news must first be proclaimed that all these things that seem to be so terrifying in the impending, hey, you awake? Collapse. Watch out. Hey, this, yes, there are things that are challenging, absolutely. There are things that can be overwhelming. And yet, you and I hope, trust that God is all-powerful, He is omniscient, He is a good God, a loving God. He wastes nothing. He uses all things that this time, in 2021, the church is not in a privileged position in the United States like it used to be. It's all going to fall apart. I don't know. I don't think so. You know, build on the rock, the church shall stand even when steeples are falling. Even when things are crumbling around us. I had the rest of the words written down here. Here they are. even when steeples are falling, crumbled have spires in every land. But the church, Christ Jesus, still reigns. The church endures. But yeah, that not as many people say that they're Christians on a survey anymore. Well, I think that's kind of a good thing, because now we can actually have an honest conversation. We can keep it 100. We can talk about what the good news is and where there is real hope and truth in the face of despair and lies, and there is real meaning and purpose in the face of meaninglessness and wandering and wondering. And it is found in Jesus. And so Jesus says, and when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, here's the thing, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. Who of you, by being anxious, has added 1 second to your life? You may have taken away some time. It's bad. Cortisol releases. It tears your body up. It tears your body, your mind, all tied together. And Jesus himself says, don't be anxious. You know, not one stone is going to be left upon another. It's going to be okay. Believe it or not. And most of the time, I don't believe it. That's why I've got this book ready to go. Don't be anxious beforehand about what you're to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. And you know what I'm going to say. Boiler up. Except for last night. Didn't go well in football. No, I'm not going to say boiler up. I'm going to say Jesus is King, I hope. I'm going to say, Lord, have mercy. It's not you who speak, Jesus says. It's the Holy Spirit. And he says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Okay, sounds pretty scary. And then Jesus ends on this note in Mark 13:13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who endures to the end will be saved. 2 weeks ago, the gospel lesson from John 8:31-36 for the Festival of the Reformation. And Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide, if you dwell, if you, you remember this, marinate in my word. Well, when Jesus says the one who endures to the end is the same root word as abide. The one who dwells in Jesus, the one who trusts and confesses that not only is the good shepherd, but he is a mighty fortress, a rock and a refuge. The one who abides in him, those who dwell in him, who remain in him, who marinate in him, to the end will be saved. Jesus himself, whose name means it's the fulfillment of a promise, the Lord saves. And he saves not those who are just ready to survive an economic collapse, because that still may do you in. But he saves those who know in and of themselves they could be anxious and worried about the collapse of anything and everything. The collapse of my immune system because one of my illnesses, it wasn't last week, I didn't have a voice, will lead to death, but it hasn't gotten me yet. The collapse of anything and everything. Will this church governance structure that we have here at St. John Indy hold up, or will the whole thing collapse under the weight of it all? It'll hold up. The one who endures, who remains in Christ Jesus to the end, will be saved. If you abide in my word, if you dwell in me, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from anxiety and fear and worry. Jesus will set you free. So the disciples, they wonder, and Jesus, he drops kind of a truth bomb on them here. Hey, you like these stones? You like these buildings? Well, enjoy them for right now. Not going to be here forever. And he never does tell them when or what will be the sign. Hey, you know, so I could get ready. But what he does say is, watch. Listen to me. Abide in me. Remain in me. Dwell in me. Live your life now. Don't give in to the anxiety, even though it's tempting. You know, in the epistle lesson today from Hebrews chapter 10, beautiful passage. And part of it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, since we have boldness to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, not because in and of ourselves we're so great, but because of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened to us for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, not the curtain of the temple, but he is the temple. And since we have a great priest over the high priest, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, because nothing darkens a man or a woman's heart like a dirty conscience, a guilty conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And then it says, let us hold fast. Take heart. Have courage. Encourage one another to the confession of our hope, not our despair. Oh, it is going to collapse. You know, I know this is probably the worst. It's never been worse. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then these last two verses are relevant for every day and every season. So what do we do now? Well, we abide, we remain, we dwell, we marinate in Christ. We live the lives that he has given us. And let us first consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Don't stir up one another. Hey, you know what I'd like to do is get a little whisper campaign going. Maybe a way that, you know, we could begin to just tear things down. In fact, let's just burn it all down. No, that's a lie. Let us first consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. To think about, to ask and encourage one another, hey, how does this glorify God? How does this build up rather than tear down? And then, and this is a beautiful thing, we're doing it today. Not neglecting to meet together. As is the habit of some, even 2,000 years ago, anybody and everybody, you could always find a good reason to not go to church. Hey, I heard cold front coming in, going to snow, going to rain, humidity is too high, too low, barometric pressure too high, too low. He says, don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. Because, you know, actually, you have a body and God has given you, and as great as the technology is to be able to still be able to connect online, I know, many of you can attest to this, it is better to be here with the people next to you, even though the roof may collapse. But here's the thing, the roof at your house could collapse too. This one's maybe better. At least you'd be together. And he says, and all the more. Like, don't decrease in this, but all the more live this out as you see the day when Christ returns. It is drawing near. What do we do? Encouraging one another. When someone, and you know that they're anxious, or maybe it's you, and you reach out and you make a bid for connection, and you can tell the person has anxiety, maybe don't amplify that anxiety. Oh, it is bad. I think the best thing you ought to do is do a poll on Facebook. Because I guarantee you, if you put something out there on Facebook, I'm pretty sure, even if you are a 1 in 1,000 person with whatever your thing is, you will find somebody to tell you, you're darn right, that is right, everyone else is messed up. Maybe don't do that. I mean, do what you want, but I would say don't do it. But encouraging one another, always pointing to Christ. Because he reigns, and here's the thing, no matter how bad things seem, the best is yet to come. Christ reigns and will return. And when we come together, you know what we say? We say what God has already said to us. We say to one another what Christ Jesus has already and is saying to us, that Jesus is the abiding, that he is the reigning, that he is the enduring, that he is the eternal Word. It is this perspective that says, yeah, there are things that are challenging. We don't need to downplay that. But there's nothing new under the sun. The prophet Isaiah had said, all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains. It's the same word. Dwells, abides, marinates, endures forever. I'll leave you with this, some Latin, because I know everybody loves Latin on a Sunday. There's a symbol, if I had the monitor here, V as in victor, D as in dominate, M as in marshmallow, A as in apple. V, D, M, A, verbum, dominum, the word of the Lord. Monet endures, remains in aeternum. The word of the Lord endures. forever. That Christ Jesus, and here we are on the second to last Sunday of the church year, but acknowledging in this eschatological big picture view, endures forever. Jesus is faithful even when we are unfaithful. He reigns now and He will return. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard your hearts and minds in Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen.